So this talk has fallen down the line of succession quite a bit. It would have been much more appropriate for one of those two gentlemen in front of me in the author list to present it. But there was obviously a conspiracy because both of them had babies in August, and so they chose not to come. Otherwise, they would not be allowed to come back home. So I was sent on the way with a couple of slides and the advice to try not to embarrass myself all too much. So this one is about pigs, actually a lot of pigs, since there is an estimated 1 billion pigs raised worldwide every year. And in the process, there's stuff coming out of the back end of these pigs at the rate of 1 to 20 liters per day and per pig. So the 20 liters, I guess, is a very large pig that has very severe diarrhea. Anyway, you can do the math yourself. This many pigs and this amount of manure and feces and urine coming out, it's a huge amount of pig slurry that has to be treated somehow. And pig slurry actually does a pretty good fertilizer because it has all the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium that you typically need and that you want in a fertilizer. If it wasn't for the zinc and copper that's in the pig food. Actually, there's quite a bit in there. Most of it is not even assimilated by the pigs. And you found it back in the pig slurries in concentrations that reach 1,000 ppm in zinc and copper, typical values, dry weight. So that's quite a high amount of zinc and copper. And when you have this high of concentration in those metals, then you, of course, you have to consider the phytotoxicity of these metals, the contamination of the soil, and even of the groundwater, depending on which species may be present in travel. So I've said the magic word, speciation. So everything turns around the speciation again. We were by far not the first ones to look at the speciation of copper and zinc in pig slurry, although there haven't been all too many people handling this kind of material. We found a couple of studies that were looking at what is actually the chemical form of copper and zinc in pig slurry, and most of it was done by sequential extraction, which is a good way to get a first feel for the speciation. Problem is, it's very sensitive on who does it. Because even with the same protocol, you get different results. Here, Leroux found basically almost inorganic zinc species, versus 10 years later, there's been zinc bound to organic matter that has been found. So sequential extraction might not be the best way to do this. So we just added up a couple of techniques, size fractionation, X-ray fluorescence, electron microscopy, and the magic X-ray absorption spectroscopy. So starting with the size fractionation, so these are the seed sizes. The numbers here are iomicrons. And we found that zinc and copper are predominantly in the 0.45 to 20 micron fraction. So there's the majority of sulfur, iron, manganese, calcium, and phosphorus. And also the majority of total carbon and nitrogen. Of course, it helps that this fraction here, accounts for almost 25% of the raw material. So, of course, we concentrated on this 0.45 to 20 micron fraction, and we were trying to look if there were some elemental correlations between zinc, copper, and other elements. And we did this by a lab-based X-ray fluorescence apparatus that we have. It's actually a microscope. So we did a pellet of with the pig slurry, and we just took a whole bunch of spectra randomly placed on this palette to get sort of a significant from idea from a statistical point of view on what's happening. So we did a 45 spectra, and the results were that, well, zinc is correlated, this is here the red part, is correlated with, well, basically nothing, because X-ray fluorescence microscope doesn't handle the light elements all too well. But for copper, we could identify that copper is associated, correlated with sulfur. So, of course, we wanted to do this a little bit more in detail, and we said, okay, we didn't see this with our X-ray microscope, so we did some SEM with associated EDX spectra, and there we found that zinc is associated with oxygen, which we couldn't see before, and we confirmed that our copper was associated with sulfur, but the zinc is associated with sulfur also. Okay, so now we know in what fraction the metals are, with what elements they are typically associated with. So now we went one step further and tried to look at the really local structure of copper and zinc on very molecular level. And let's start with the zinc XFs. So XFs, as you all know, it's atom specific. And the ideal case where you can really model the signal accurately, you can get then, well, number should be spelled with a U. The number of neighbors, the chemical nature of these neighbors, and even the distances to the neighboring atoms. Then again, when the signal looks like that, you basically do a linear combination of reference spectra, which in that case gave these results. So at about 40% of the zinc that was in the form of zinc hydroxide, about as much zinc associated with organic matter, either with ZnO or ZnS bond, and the remaining 20% was zinc sulfide. So, of course, we tried this also with copper. Whoops, I went one too, well, anyway, no problem. With copper there, we restricted ourselves to the grains part because the spectra weren't very pretty with the zinc. They were even worse with the copper, so there was no point in trying to do excess treatment of the copper spectra. This, of course, is all mainly due to the fact that it's not very concentrated, although it's 1,000 ppm, but it's one of the main problems is heterogeneity of the sample. At the lab, we could do as many spectra that we wanted, X-ray fluorescence, on a synchrotron. After a set time, they kick you out, so you better get your samples going. So the fit here gave actually a surprising result. Basically, all of the copper is under the form of copper 1 sulfide. That is surprising on two levels. First, the copper was fed as copper 2 to the pigs, and this is a purely inorganic phase, which is in big contrast of the organic nature of the pig slurry. And we checked that that is not an artifact. We tried to fit this with the copper 1 thiol phase, and the fit wasn't nearly as good. So pretty confident that this is the actual speciation of copper in the pig slurry. So we basically come into the end of my talk. So we know where we can find zinc and copper in terms of size fraction. We have a pretty good idea of the speciation of these metals. Sulfur phases are very important with these metals.
We're pretty confident that this is actually true because we double check by a combination with multiple techniques.
One word now of what needs to be done further. It's like, now I told you what the speciation is in the peak slurry, so when the metals actually arrive on the soil. So one first consideration is, can these species travel? For copper 1 sulfide, the solubility is very low. And actually, this species resists very well even oxic environments. So even under aerobic conditions, this phase is stable and doesn't move a lot. On the other hand, the zinc phases, all of them, even the zinc sulfide, can be mobilized by just playing a little bit with the pH and the redox condition. So even the zinc sulfide under oxic conditions and at pHs around 5 is likely to be transported further in the environment. And this, of course, then the thing now is what the speciation of these metals on the when they travel in the environment, and this is a story probably for next year, I hope so. Thank you for attention, and I just stop with advertising Samuel's papers, so if you want to cite them, it's going to make him happy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we have time for one question.
Actually, this is we got the pig slurry from the farm, and it's stored in big lagoons. And in these lagoons, the redox conditions are such that you can actually precipitate the copper one. So that might be microbial, just probably microbial interactions involved in this. But just from the purely physical chemical conditions, we're good in precipitating copper 1 sulfide.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.